People are legitimately buzzing about the CFL all week long based on the arrival of one Johnny Football, or in this case now, Johnny Canadian Football. The much-anticipated rumor has finally become a reality. Johnny Manziel signing with the Hamilton Ticats. Welcome to the Waggle, everybody. Chez and Balls back at it once again. James Cebulski, David Sanchez. Training camp is upon us, and we're going back to the bullpen. We're bringing in the big guns, the heavy artillery from CFL.ca. Chez, give us the best announcer voice you can to sell this one.
Introducing
Jeepers Creevers. Jeff Creever. Jeff Creever from CFL.ca. always a pleasure, my man.
Love it. What's my walk-up song? I gotta think about it. I guess I gotta put some thought into
it.
I know exactly your
song there, Creever, and I'll tell you what it is, because this is like kind of uber nerdy, but I was just thinking about it before we came to air. When I think of Creever, do you remember the movie Almost Famous?
Almost Famous. Remind me.
Cameron Crowe movie. It's about the young boy who's following the rock band. It's a bit of a semi-autobiographical story of Cameron Crowe following Led Zeppelin. So it's about this fictional band, Stillwater. So anyway, Kate Hudson's in it. She's adorable in it. Anyway, but they have this fictional song called Fever Dog. And for Creever, you'd be coming out to Creever Dog. Because he is known as Creep Dog, right, Chez?
I like it, except for no one's seen the movie, but yeah, I like it.
Oh, come on. People have seen this movie. Somebody, you know what? Hit me up. Let us know. Come on. Hit us up.
Hit me up at James Cebulski. Who's seen the guy who's seen this movie? Hit up James.
It's on my top five. Somebody's got to see it, right? Please help me out.
Is it that good? It was that good? Top five?
I would put it in my top five all time. Legit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Legit.
Well, I'll write it down. I'll watch it.
It's a good movie. Chez, you never watch movies. Nice. I'm not buying
Let's
that.
Let's talk football.
Okay, here we go. Yes, because there's lots to get to here. And as a reminder, everybody, the Waggle is a presentation of Sport Clips. Ain't that right, Mr. Sanchez?
Hey, I'm going to reverse the order. It's good to be a guy. And a girl, and everybody else in between. We love everybody. Nah, man, that Sport Clips MVP experience. You know, go to cfl.ca/waggle. Get that coupon for a free cut. First time callers only. And what's that MVP experience like, C-Ball?
We're talking hot steam towels. We're talking massaging shampoos, sports on TV. And how about a little football, hockey, baseball, basketball? It's final season, people. The cup is on the line. The NBA final's set to go down. Oh, and there's legendary haircuts. And did I mention sports? And like we said, find the nearest Sport Clips nearest you at sportclips.ca. So here we go. Creever, Sanchez, Cebulski, Air Canada 7, he goes by on his social media handle. Brandon Bridge from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is going to join us later on and in the show and weigh in on a few things, talking all things the future of Canadian quarterbacks and his journey through the CFL at this point. But right now, it's all about another quarterback that everybody in the CFL and really the sports world is buzzing about with the CFL. I can't think of the last time that there's been this much discussion about the Canadian Football League at the start of training camp. And listen, if you're a CFL fan, it's one thing because you're invested and you're paying attention. But I'm talking about even the casual sport fans. People are legitimately buzzing about the CFL all week long based on the arrival of one Johnny Football, or in this case now, Johnny Canadian Football. The much-anticipated rumor has finally become a reality. Johnny Manziel signing with the Hamilton Ticats last weekend in time for the start of training camp. He's here, and he's saying all the right things. I guess first things first, let's go around the horn. Chez, how do you feel about Johnny Football finally in Steeltown?
Yeah, well, like many people, we're sick of talking about it, sick of hearing about the what-ifs, and I was one of the guys who really wanted him to be up here. I know that he's going to bring a lot of, and it's been proven over the first week. He brings a lot of. I was driving listening to ESPN Radio on the way home from Hamilton the other day. They were talking Johnny Football. I changed the channel to Fox. They were talking Johnny Football. These are not local stations. This is Sirius Radio, satellite radio. I mean, it's and we're talking about it locally. So we want, you know, you want the CFL to get more notoriety, whether you like it or not. Johnny's going to bring that, and now he's on the field, and we're going to see what happens with that. And that's what I've been out there at Ticats practice. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but at Ticats practice. And he's, like you said, James, he's saying all the right things. He's buying in. He's fitting in with the guys. He's working. And now we're going to get to see, you know, what he does on the field. All that, the 6 months of talk is finished, and, you know, we're 10 days away from a preseason game, and then the season's underway, and we're going to see what the former Heisman Trophy winner, first-round pick of the National Football League, what he still got left. At 25 years old, I think he's got a lot left. Let's see how that translates into the CFL game, and can he beat out incumbent Jeremiah Masoli, who looks real good.
Creever?
Yeah, guys, I love the fact that it's almost June now. We're sitting here talking about Johnny Manziel, and it's actually something concrete, something that's real. He's here now. I mean, James, how long have you been waiting to do this episode with Johnny, where we're talking about Johnny Football having signed with the team? I know it's been a long time coming. This has got to be your favorite episode of The Waggle. I know
you're
it is.
You're in well, your glory, been... James. You're in your glory.
You guys have been chirping me all week long in the CFL offices. How many Johnny Manziel jerseys have you bought, Cebulski? What's happening? Come on, Cebulski. Have you changed your name to Manziel yet? I've heard it all. And I will say this, and Creever, consider yourself honored to be part of such a huge episode then at that. But I just gotta say, this is huge for the Canadian Football League from a marketing standpoint. Look, it has to ultimately work for this to be a hit, but I will say this, and this strikes me as a win on two levels. If Johnny Manziel fails in the Canadian Football League, it's a sign of respect for people that are outside the box from the CFL to say, hey, you know what? Like, this league's legit. Like, you got to be a player. You can't just show up and expect to think that you're going to dominate. Now, conversely, that's a worst case scenario. The best case scenario is exactly what a large majority of people want to see happen. That Manziel comes up here and has success and becomes the star that the Canadian Football League needs and the league that Johnny Football needs. This has a perfect fit. His skill set's tailor-made for this game. He's a personality. He's a star. He's a draw. He is an attraction. Stars sell in pro sports in 2018, whether it's LeBron James, whether it's Sidney Crosby, whether it's Tom Brady. You look across the landscape everywhere around the world, whether it's Ronaldo or Messi from a football or soccer standpoint. You know, in baseball, guys like Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper. The list goes on and on. Stars sell. And Johnny Manziel brings a profile that this league has not seen in a very long time. 10 years ago, you had Ricky Williams who came up here for a brief run in the CFL. This, to me, feels bigger than that. And the closest comparable you can find is probably Doug Flutie. But Doug Flutie didn't come up here in a social media age, in this digital age where Johnny Manziel brings almost 2 million followers on Instagram. He brings a ton of followers on Twitter. There's people that would have never known about the CFL until now, and it's that sort of star power that he brings to the league. Man, I'm amped up to see what it can do, because I feel like either way, this is going to be a win.
Yeah, let me just say, James, I agree with you in a couple of respects there, and the first one being what you said about him and his, if he fails, what if Johnny Manziel fails? And I think you're right that is going to open up some eyes and sort of show people that the CFL, it's no joke league. Like, that's been the word that people have been saying, and that's what Manziel has said. He said the talent there is for real.
Okay, tell me, Creve, answer this for me, Creve.
Okay.
Mike Riley, this is Mike Riley made a comment in an interview with Dave Campbell in Edmonton there, and he asked what about Johnny Manziel and him showing up, and Mike Riley's comments were kind of surprised me. Mike said there was great players before Johnny Manziel, and there's going to be great players after Johnny, and it surprised me a little bit, because yes, that's a fact. There was a ton of great players before him. There's going to be a ton of great players after them. Mike Mike Riley's one of those great players, and Johnny has not is not one of those guys. But does that quote? What does that quote tell you?
I think it tells me that some of the guys that have been here and put the work in and that have become stars here, big stars like Mike Riley, feel a little bit disrespected by a guy like Johnny Manziel coming in and getting all the talk. And it's not jealousy. I think I'm not saying it's a negative feeling. I think it's a positive feeling because our biggest stars have a sense of pride.
No, it's negative.
But I'm saying I don't view Mike in a negative way for saying that. I think he feels a little bit disrespected, but I also think it shows that he's got a lot of pride, and stars like Mike Riley have a lot of pride for what they've been able to accomplish in this league and for what their hard work has gotten them. And you can point to, like Mike said, a lot of great players that have been here and a lot that will be here in the future. There are also guys like Johnny Manziel, not quite of this magnitude, but guys like Johnny that have come in here before, big names that have come in here, and we've made a big deal out of them, and they failed. Ricky Williams was an example that James gave. Troy Smith was another one. That's a former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that came in here and completed under 60% of his passes and then was out of the league in a couple of years. This league has chewed up and spit out some high-profile players that have come here from the NFL, from college. It's happened
Andre
time
Rison.
And time again.
How about Andre Rison?
Andre Rison, Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, whatever you
Andre
want to call
him. Andre Rison was 35 years
okay,
old.
Okay, fine.
Chad Ochocinco was 33 years old. Those guys aren't comparable. But James,
well, Troy
is
Smith
that
is
fair,
a comparable.
James? Who?
What's that?
Troy Smith is a comparable.
Yeah. Is that fair, James? Is it fair that other guys in the league and Mike's – that's the article I came up on the other day, and it shocked me a little bit. Is it fair that guys are taking issue with the attention that Johnny is getting?
I think they're looking at it the wrong way because I talked to Solomon Elamimian about this week, and his reaction, I said, give me one word to describe Johnny Manziel coming to the CFL. He said, great. He said, it's great for the players. It's great for the league. Because everybody benefits from the rub. It's the rub, Chess. It's the rub.
No,
it's the Johnny money.
I agree.
People are working.
I'm surprised. I was surprised to hear those comments. And I'm with you, Creve. It's not a jealousy thing, I don't think. But I'm surprised. You know, it'd be different to me. And here's the conversation that I'll have with anybody. It's different to me if Johnny is running around saying, look at me, since he's been here. And posting pictures of himself up here and saying he's tearing it up and running around, trying to get attention. He's been the total opposite. He's in his presser the other day. He said, "The attention that I haven't done anything up here. The attention that's on me in the CFL is not warranted." Johnny's saying that. He's like, "But I can't do anything about that right now." And so, for me, and I think it's a small handful of guys who feel this way. And it's going to be mostly the star guys, the guys who are already getting attention in this league, because the guys who don't get attention is really not going to affect them, and they're probably just happy that there's more eyes on the league. The same way I'm happy as a guy that works in media, I'm happy there's more eyes on our game to show the great product, to show the other great quarterbacks in the league. But you know, for the other guys who feel slighted, it surprised me. Another comment that Johnny made, and you mentioned Doug Flutie, is someone said, guys have compared you to Doug Flutie, and have you talked to Doug? Obviously, they have that Heisman House connection they do the advertising stuff for them. So he's been around Doug, and they've talked about the CFL. And he said, whoa, this was today, Johnny said. He said, whoa, guys, let's hold on a minute here. Doug Flutie's been was a great player up here, a multiple champion, a multiple MVP. He goes, I'm still trying to figure out what's cover zero, what's cover one. I haven't even completed a pass yet. Or finished a full practice, so I don't want to be compared to Doug Flutie at all. Let's hold our horses here. So Johnny's is not on Johnny. So I have a tough time with everyone giving him a hard time until he's running around and doing the social media stuff and pumping himself up. I think we should all give him a break and be happy for the fact that everyone's getting attention and our league's getting attention. And I'm not gonna anoint him. June Jones said he could be the best player ever. I'm not buying that either for now. Until he shows a whole lot more. He's got to show years and years before I would even think about making a comment like that. But the reality is he's doing the right things. And he's giving all of us attention, all the great players around this league, a lot more attention, like you said, C-Ball.
So far, I like what I've seen from him. I mean, I and this is just from even from him speaking. But for me, the thing I'm most fascinated to watch is whether he's going to be, and we talked about it to death, but whether he's going to be humble enough, because in the CFL, and I'll give you this example, in Ty Cat's camp, it was like Johnny said. He said the night before when he was going through the playbook and he hadn't been on the field, he had some questions. He had no idea what was going on when he was reading it, things that he could only see from being on the field. So is Johnny Manziel going to be willing to, you know, be told by a fourth string quarterback, say Bryant Moniz or a guy like that, a guy who's been in the CFL for a few years, but, you know, maybe isn't in line to be a starter or hasn't had that kind of past as a star that Johnny Manziel has had. Is he going to have the humility and be humble enough to listen to a guy like that and to dedicate himself to his craft and to learn those little things that he needs to learn? Or is this just a stepping stone for him? And I think that's something that we're going to find out pretty quickly.
Johnny Manziel brings, and look, this doesn't win games, this doesn't win in anything, but in terms of profile, just to give you a sense from a social media standpoint, he brings almost 2 million followers from an Instagram standpoint to the Canadian Football League. And he's been pretty quiet on there for the better part of the last month or the last 3 weeks. But if and when he sticks and he starts getting active, look at that awareness that he brings to an audience that's probably never been exposed to the CFL. Just to give you a context, the Canadian Football League has in and around 100,000 followers on Instagram. Johnny Football has almost 2 million more followers than the entire league. And I would maybe argue, and this isn't a slight on anybody, but just how big a star he is coming to the league, he might have more followers on Instagram than the CFL and all of its players combined. And I'm not trying to be cheeky on that. He's that kind of star power. This is a guy that ESPN's now talking about. So when games are on and when he's playing football games, you know, US Network Television, you know, I was looking on ESPN.com the other day. They had a link for the CFL the other night. They had a link to go to the CFL page. Now, it's ultimately a page to go to TSN, but it's still, like, think about how big. You're talking about a huge digital site. Now, we look at our Canadian websites, and that's one thing, and they're big by Canadian standards. ESPN is a whole, you know, A, they cater to a country of 320 million people, and B, it's way more of a global brand than anything that we can imagine here in this country. So he is providing that trickle-down effect where people are, look at the coverage. Look at the coverage, the talking point, exactly like you said, Chez. You know, it's Fox Sports now talking about the CFL. It's ESPN Radio talking about it. It's Sirius XM satellite radio talking about it. It's the conversation that people are now having in this market. I'll give you an example. Like, I work in Vancouver Sports Radio out here, and when would we be talking about Hamilton Ticats football unless they're coming into town that week for a game? We're not, especially not during training camp, unless, dare I say, a Heisman Trophy winner who's a former first-round pick who just happens to be a guy who generates a lot of buzz when you talk about him is in town. Look, Josh Freeman is a quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes, first-round pick, started way more games, have way more NFL success. That's barely caused a ripple of noise over attention over
that
the fact
that this
guy.
Yeah, and that should tell you that it's not always about football. It's the iconic presence that Johnny has. Everybody, yes. Josh Freeman had a way better or longer NFL career, won more games, had more success than Johnny did. And no one's, like you said, James, no one's talking about it. So it's not necessarily for those who are saying, oh, Johnny hasn't done enough to prove it, and why are we talking about him? It's not about that. It's a lot of it. And whether it's fair or not, who cares about fair? That's not the point. It's the, his iconic presence that gets people talking about him. There's a perfect example.
James, they sold 24 Johnny Manziel jerseys on the first day. How many of those did you buy?
You know what? There were 4 for my mother, 6 for my sister. My dad wanted a white, a third, and a black, and then. The other ones are just all, I'm just waiting
and
to
James,
find space in my closet. And one for Davis for his birthday
when
he turned 72.
It's just funny you're leaving out the main one, the triple X that you're wearing for your 90. The triple X Manziel you're wearing for your 90.
I just need a large for my nighty. Come on, man. I don't have shoulders. I'm more of a baby gap small. Yeah, no, it's I, you know, look, and here I am waving the Johnny Football flag in terms of the hype, in terms of the buzz. This is what I love about the move. Now it's playing with house money, whether this works or whether it doesn't. But the circus is in town. The circus is here. The hype, the buzz, people are talking about the CFL. And this is something that people should embrace, the fact that, hey, there's a conversation. And if you don't like Johnny Manziel, and if you hate Johnny Football, then you know what? You've got yourself a villain to buy tickets to a game and boo. And boo your heart and soul out when he comes to town, the same way that you would boo any other team that you don't like. But if you are a Johnny Manziel fan and you've never been one or inclined to go watch a CFL game before, guess what? You're going to buy, wait for it, tickets. You're going to go. You're going to go check this out. So that's what I love about what this all means in terms of now that he's here. But now that he's here, there are a lot of different layers as to what happens now. First things first, it was this podcast here, guys, a few months back that June Jones, the head coach of the Hamilton Ticats, proclaimed that Johnny Manziel, if he came up here, would be the greatest player to ever play here in the league. Strong, hot take. Hot take of hot takes, and got people talking.
Did he
talking
say that he would be the greatest, or did he say he could be?
I thought he said could be.
Yeah,
I think he said he could be the greatest. Just to be clear, we don't want to put words in his mouth. I was guilty of that earlier, saying the same thing, that he said that he would be the greatest player. He said if he came up here, he could possibly be the greatest player that ever came up here. That's two different things, because I was guilty of the same thing. That's why I would just, let's be clear.
Regardless, it was glowing praise, right?
Yes.
And, you know, he's never said that about his starting quarterback right now in Jeremiah Masoli. So how does this play out? Now, nobody's predicting Johnny Manziel to start with this right away. He doesn't start. Nobody's predicting him to start week one as he gets acclimated to the game, to the offense. But how long does this last with the looming specter of number two on the sidelines? This can't go on forever. And Hamilton obviously is seeing the marketing benefits already and the buzz around this guy. How long does it go? This has got to go. He's got to play sooner rather than later. They didn't bring him here for nothing. And especially when you've got a coach that's praising him like they did. They worked him out how many times last year?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. But, I mean, the question for me is, the only way that they're going to keep the Johnny Manziel talk away is if the Ticats get off to a blistering start and Jeremiah Masoli is putting up MOP numbers and they're, you know, 6-1, 7-1, whatever it may be. And that's the only thing it's going to take, because if they're 4-4 or something and Jeremiah's playing all right, they're winning some games, they're staying afloat in the East. And say Jeremiah Masoli just has, you know, one or two bad quarters, their fans at Tim Hortons Field, they're gonna be going, all right, where's Johnny Football? And it sucks for Jeremiah, because he exceeded expectations, I think it's fair to say, over that second half of the season last year. But people want to see Johnny Manziel, and that's something that's going to be on Jeremiah's shoulders, and I wonder how it's going to affect him going into the season.
Let me throw out a quote for you from June Jones, or I'll paraphrase here. But when asked about Jeremiah, and to further what you're saying, Creve, when asked about Jeremiah and how he's handling all this, June Jones said, he's handling it just the way I thought he would. Jeremiah is a professional. He went on to say he sits next to Johnny in the meetings. He helps Johnny. He goes, you guys keep asking me about Johnny. I'm excited to see what Jeremiah does with his opportunity of being the starting quarterback of this football team. Now, that's June Jones talking. So as much as we talk about the competition and about Johnny, June Jones seems more excited to see what Jeremiah is going to do as the starter of this team. Because remember, this is Jeremiah's first year being the starter of this team. From training camp, this was Zach's team last year, so that tells me a whole lot. And I always say it's extremely difficult to win a job out of training camp as a CFL rookie. Extremely difficult. I would even go as far as saying tougher to win a job in CFL training camp as a rookie than it is to make it win a job as an NFL rookie. And the reason for that is the rosters as an American player, there's so few spots available for a rookie. And secondly, the camp is so short that there's not a lot of time to grasp new concepts and show what you have. By the time, you know, you might show your athleticism off, but it takes you so long to grasp all the new ideas and get the playbook under wraps that, you know, you're so far behind. So it's really, really difficult. And there's no doubt that Johnny is – that Jeremiah is going to be that guy. And if there's a job to be won, it's going to be won during the season. And that furthers, you know, what you're saying, Creve, is that, you know, the fans – it's not fair for Jeremiah because regardless of what he does, he's always going to hear that. But Jeremiah Masoli is – anyone who's been around Jeremiah, he's a confident guy. He's relaxed. He's none of this is going to faze him. I think he's one of the people who probably embraces all the attention. And because people are asking, hey, Jerry, who's Johnny Manziel wants to be the quarterback at Hamilton. Well, who's the starter? And these are, you know, people from down south who don't necessarily follow the CFL, but they remember Jeremiah from Oregon or Ole Miss. They remember Jeremiah Masoli. Now he's back in the spotlight, and I think he embraces that. That's just the kind of guy he is.
Let me ask you guys this because I'm curious, and I don't know the answer to this, but what do you think are the odds of 2 years going by and Johnny Manziel not starting a game for the Hamilton Tiger Cats? Can you put a percentage on it?
Zero.
0.0000.
So it is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I think we can all agree.
Oh,
and it might not be in Hamilton. It might. I've said already on record. It might be somewhere else. But he's going to be starting somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. I look at the scenarios of teams that could potentially use quarterbacks. Right. I look no further, and we kind of alluded to this, and we'll get into this team's issues a little later on, but how about the Montreal Alouettes? You know, a city and a team desperate to A, sell tickets, and B, get some stability at quarterback, I think they would totally take a chance on trying to take a chance on bringing in Johnny Manziel if Manziel isn't starting already in Hamilton. That alone, he'd sell jerseys, right? That's the other thing. Like, he's going to sell jerseys. Like, you know, what's the one biggest complaint that, and we had the commissioner Randy Ambrosi on this show not too long ago, a few months back there, Chez, and it was asking him about the continuity. And listen, I mean, Manziel signed his 2-year deal right now, and he might be just two and done and gone in the CFL, but even with him being here, there's still enough of a curiosity for people to want to buy Manziel jerseys as they've been flying off the shelves already, you know, with the Hamilton Tomcats.
Whoa. You said 24 jerseys sold. That's not exactly flying off the shelves. Let's settle down a bit.
Dude, that was on the heel. That was a couple of hours after they announced
the signing. That was immediately after.
Yeah, so.
Okay, pardon me.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point in all of this is, you look at the excitement and the hype. Like, this is a guy who's, I think, and it's not just hyperbole. Like, people are losing sight of the facts sometimes, and it's the, like, you going back to what you were saying, Chez, about the negativity in terms of whether or not, whether or not guys are grumbling about it. I think Zach Caleros had something to say about it, kind of dismissive about the idea.
Greg Ellingson said something in the offseason as well. I can't see where it comes from, to be honest. I can't see it.
Well, that's it. Think about it this way. And to every player that might be listening right now that thinks, oh, what the hell is this guy doing? He's coming up here. Just imagine for a minute. All right, and let's go look in this, you know, channel my inner Wayne's World here, right? And we go into this fantasy world of unicorns and cotton candy clouds. And let's just say Johnny Manziel becomes a hit. And Johnny Manziel is playing and having success. And Johnny Manziel is playing like the star he was in the NCAA when he won the Heisman Trophy and was a rock star all across campuses all over America. So Johnny Manziel is suddenly a star that you can sell on ESPN, on US networks, that when you decide, hey, what are we going to run on programming this coming weekend on our television station? Hey, how about Johnny Manziel is playing a game this weekend and it's Hamilton against Saskatchewan. Hey, maybe we should put that on the schedule. Yeah, and we'll put that on and maybe people might be inclined to watch. So now that Johnny Manziel, hey, and then you hear a commercial earlier in the week. Hey, don't miss this Friday night. It's Johnny Manziel and the Hamilton Ticats take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Don't miss it. It's CFL football on ESPN. And yeah. Now you hear that. And so all of a sudden in that rock star announcer voice, they're selling that and people are looking at this going, hey, you know what? I'm inclined to stop and watch. And we talked about this hypothetical last year with Vince Young. Vince Young, it didn't work. It didn't click. But when you create these names, these attractions, people are inclined to watch. So now, hypothetically, in this fantasy world, in this world of unicorns I'm talking about right now, Manziel has success. More people are watching. Ratings go up in America. Revenue is suddenly generated in America beyond just Canada in the CFL. And now, all of a sudden... Wait a minute, player revenues now increase with the league revenues, and now who starts getting paid more? Oh, wait a minute, the players. You mean the guys that were grumbling about the idea of a marquee name being in the spotlight. Goodbye.
James, just
great
to, just a
great point.
I got the quote here, what June Jones said. He said, I think he'd be the best player to ever play up here. He can throw it and he can run it like nobody ever has been able to. That's the quote from June Jones.
He'd be.
Yeah.
I think he'd be the best player to ever play up here.
He would be, he could be, he'd be. So, yeah. Put your name on it. He did.
Yep. It's there.
I mean, it's there and it's you know, this is a guy who's a very intelligent. Here's the thing about June Jones, too. And this is, we've talked about this ad nauseum in terms of what he said, and we've had some fun with it and not so much fun with it. But June Jones has been around this game for a very, very long time. June Jones is a smart man when it comes to football, and he's had a lot of success, and he's been coaching with the elite over the course of his career and his lifetime. He knows what he's saying in a position like that, and now he's got him here. Johnny Manziel will find a way to start, and I think he's going to start with the Hamilton Ticats, and he will find a way to make it happen. And it'll probably come if the Tabbies are 500 football team through the first 4 weeks of the season or somewhere in and around their first 3 weeks. I think June Jones has no qualms pulling the trigger just to give it a try. Just to give it a try and see what's out there because of the asset that's up here. And from a June Jones standpoint, Chez, we talked about this in the past. Creve, you can chime in on this as well. Chez, legacy, right? Legacy for June Jones. If he's the guy who brings back Johnny Manziel, he's the redeemer of Johnny football. I mean, what a story for him on the tail end of his longstanding coaching career, isn't it?
It is, and that's one of the reasons why I always thought he wasn't going to ever trade Johnny was for that. So is what it is.
Well, here, Creve, let me throw this at you real quick. You look at the situation for Hamilton, and whether you believe that Hamilton is a legitimate team after the way they finished last season, look at the way they kick off their season. You talk about mission impossible. You talk about you're almost set up to fail in a lot of ways. You open up on the road against Calgary. Then you go 5 days later, you go to Edmonton. Then you're home to Winnipeg. Then you go back to back with Saskatchewan. So, you know, July 5th and then July 19th. So they have a bye in between there. But it's not inconceivable to think that, it's not impossible to think that the Ticats could be 0-5 to start the season. They could be 0-4 to start the season or 0-3.
Creever?
That's one of those
one,
things.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Creever, after 5 weeks, what's the Ticats record, Creever?
What's the Ticats record? I'm going to say they're 2-3 at that time. I think they pull out two
James?
Wins.
James?
I don't see them winning in Calgary. I don't see them winning in Edmonton. I don't see them beating Winnipeg. I'm going to say they're 0-3 after the first 3 weeks, and I think that's where you'll see a quarterback change after 0-3.
He's calling it. 3 weeks. That's a big call, James. Off. James, that is a big call. I think that's going to – you better watch out. Your face is going to be on an Instagram graphic after this.
Yes, exactly. 100%. Finally, it's about time. I guess I had to go something strong to finally take Davis off the quote board for a change here, Chez. It's Chez, when was the last time they promoted Chez just saying it's a nice sunny day? It was like, that's the quote to promote the Waggle the last time. But think about it. I mean, do you not think Calgary is a legitimate Grey Cup contender this year? Yes or no?
Of course, I think for sure, 100%.
They are. So is Edmonton. So is Winnipeg.
Edmonton and so is Winnipeg and Saskatchewan. I love what they've done this offseason as well in terms of adding to their depth.
So is Saskatchewan.
Yeah, and so is Saskatchewan.
That's the four toughest teams, or four of the five. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it's four of the five, four of the six toughest teams in the league they start off with, and three of them on the road. It's not easy. That's a tough draw. Regardless,
I think they'll
beat Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think they'll beat Winnipeg and they'll split with Sask. But you know, we're really jumping ahead in that regard. But
they'll beat Winnipeg and they'll split with Sask. Okay, Creve, that might go on a quote board as well.
Well, you know,
I'm sure Winnipeg doesn't think they're going to lose to Hamilton right now in week three. Okay.
No, but hey, Hamilton won some games down the stretch last year, and this is a tight league. Anybody can beat anybody any given week, especially early in the season. I love Calgary, but I think Hamilton probably keeps that opener a little bit close out there.
Let's play another game that we're going to play. Let's play another game. I hope we can play a little more this year. Let's look at now that gambling is legal in the U.S. and it's soon to be legal here too. You can quote me on that one. I say soon, I don't mean the next
week. We've tried. This country has tried, Jez.
Trust you, it's coming. The U.S. has done it. It's coming here real quickly. So that being said, Winnipeg right now, game three is at Hamilton. Winnipeg at Hamilton. Is that right? Week three?
I believe that's correct, yes.
James, you have the schedule there,
Hamilton,
right, James?
Hamilton home to Winnipeg, week three, June 29th.
Okay, so that's week three home to Winnipeg. Let's put our handicappers' hats on for a minute and look at a line. What do you think Vegas put that line at right now? Winnipeg at Hamilton. Who's favored and by how many? James, Creve, anybody want to take a shot? Or you want me to go?
I'm gonna say it's within a point and a half.
I think that's, yeah. James?
I don't know which way, but I'm gonna say it's within a point and a half.
It's I'm gonna say Winnipeg by three.
That's the same. So I agree with James. I have that game as Winnipeg minus three in that game right now. So on the road they'd be a favorite. Anyway, more of the story. That's a tough go. Let's jump off of Hamilton and talk about another team that had some interesting go around again this week. C-Ball, why don't we talk about my former squad out there and what's happened there? Want to go in that direction?
You want to go with the Lions or as in the Montreal Alouettes?
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever you want. Either way.
Okay. Tell you what. Why don't we go with the gift that keeps on giving, and that's the Montreal Alouettes. And I guess it kind of ties in for both the Lions and the Alouettes. And you know, the story going with Javon Olafoye finds his way back to BC, six-time All-Star on the offensive line, and you look at suddenly the Lions offseason where they needed to improve their O-line. What'd they do? They went out and they brought in Joel Figueroa from Edmonton, and now this week they bring in Javon Olafoye. Now, this comes like hours after he was cut by the Montreal Alouettes. Kavis Reed, who had traded a first-round pick to get Olafoye a year ago, and then basically wanted to make him take a pay cut, but he ultimately cut the guy he traded a first-round pick for last year, and now here's Olafoye back in the fold with the Lions, and they got a first round pick for it as well. You kind of shake your head at from an Alouette standpoint, because Olafoye went out and threw a little grenade down the hallway of the Alouettes' direction on the way out, basically saying, you know, they made me drive up here 10 hours just so they could cut me, ask me to take a pay cut. Like, I should have just stayed my ass at home, he tweeted, and then went on to say he called Cavis Reed the most disorganized GM he's ever seen. And this coming from a six-time All-Star. So it certainly had a lot of people raising their eyebrows based on this, which has already been a trying offseason for the Alouettes. But it didn't stop there, Chez, because there's another notable name, one of the fastest, maybe the fastest player in the CFL, or at least the fastest Canadian, who also found his way to the exit door in Montreal as well.
Yeah, that's Tavon Campbell, somebody who I had penciled in as a starter over there. And Tavon Campbell, and this is a conversation that has come up a few times in what's happened in Montreal, and I can't, unless I can confirm it, then I'm not going to speak on it. You know, we're talking about some of the bonuses in regards to a guy receiving bonus, then getting released. And you know, the question is, if you understand what's going on with your team, you think somebody's not going to be there, then you don't pay them their offseason bonus. Tavon Campbell, I spoke to Tavon Campbell. He received a bonus already this offseason. He spoke to both Rich Stubler and Khalil Carter, who both informed him that he was expected to be the starter over there at that cornerback spot. And I felt the same way. Tavon Campbell is a good Canadian defensive back. I don't know if he can play safety, but as a cornerback, Tavon Campbell is one of the best out there from the non-import position, from a national. And from a ratio standpoint, he's a difference maker. And if you're going to already pay him, the amount of money that he was left payable for the rest of the season was not a lot of money in regards to a salary for a starting Canadian. I can't see why you would not have him go through camp and find out if he's going to be a starter or not. And if you're not going to let him go through camp, why pay him his original offseason bonus? He signed, I think, in March, or when he got a bonus earlier in the offseason. I just can't figure that out. That part I can't speak on because I spoke to him. And again, two coaches telling him that they thought he would start. Coaches often will say things like that, and it doesn't go that way. That's part of football, I guess. But it just seems like there's a disconnect again. And, you know, with Javon's comments and then this, it's just tough to see. I think that, you know, as much as we've heard, fellas, out of Montreal and what's going on and what's happening, it's you want to talk about a team that needs to get off to a fast start. If Montreal doesn't get off to a fast start, there's going to be some changes over there. They've got to get off to a fast start. I hope they do. I want the guys over there to have success. But it's a winning business. It's a results business. It's a business where often perception is reality. Or even if it's not reality, it's perception. And perception there is things are a mess. And so the only thing that's going to fix that, and only a couple people behind closed doors know, what's really going on. If it's just rumor and everything's fine, and some of these, and I'm sure that some of the things that have come out are not accurate, and Cavis and the people running things are not getting a fair shake. I'm sure, and I've talked to him on a couple of these things, and I know that it's not all completely accurate what's coming out in the media, but some of it is accurate, and when it keeps on coming and you keep on hearing it, eventually something's got to shake down. So that's the reality here. There's got to be something that's going to happen. They have to win games early, or it's an issue.
I just wonder how much longer. And look, nobody wants to see anybody get fired. Nobody wants to see somebody fail. I think the better stories are always the success stories. But I just wonder how much longer can you keep selling this in Montreal with the struggles that are happening right now? When I look at what I've seen over the last year and a half, the coach that Cavis Reed brought in, or the guy he wanted, he had to fire. The quarterback he traded for that he brought in and signed, he cut. The offensive lineman that he traded for to give up a first-round pick to get, he cut. the defensive coordinator he signed off on this offseason, he basically parted ways with, or at least moved on, reshuffled, whatever you want to look at, before training camp even started. So, and now this with Tavon Campbell, another notable name. It's, these are not insignificant moves, but these are the stories that are making headlines in Montreal. And for the organization that was once the model franchise, Creve, this was the model franchise not that long ago in the Canadian Football League. We're talking less than 10 years ago. It's a far cry from that where we're sitting here now in 2018. And that's a very dangerous slope that they're falling off of right now, what's happening in Montreal.
Some things haven't gone Kavis Reed's way. That is obviously an understatement. I mean, that's not a quote for Instagram, but, you know, but let me just say, here's where I sit on this. Here's where I sit on this. Kavis Reed has been the general manager of the Alouettes for about a year now, a little over a year. He took over partway through, last off season. So he's had one season. They've won three games. I believe it's certainly been said that the previous coach, Jacques Chaptelin, that wasn't Kavis's guy. Apparently those two, correct me if I'm wrong, Davis, apparently those two had some philosophical differences, which is why they parted ways partway through the season. So I don't think it's fair to pin that on Kavis. It seems like that first year was a bit of a lost season for him, with a lot of things being out of his control. What I want to see is I want to give Kavis a chance, despite a few of the misfortunes that he's had come his way. I want to see him have a chance to develop his American talent and see how his American scouting goes, how his draft classes go, because now he's had two of them. And I want to see where this team can go moving forward, because I still think, despite what's happened with Jovan and with Tavon Campbell, I still think it's very difficult and probably unfair to judge a general manager that soon into his tenure. When I look at this Al's roster, I see a team on paper that's good. I see a roster from top to bottom that is a good roster. Davis, you might disagree or agree. You're close to that team. But when I go down and look position by position, I see a team that should be pretty good, that has two big questions this year, and that's a defensive coordinator with Stubler being in at the last minute, and that's at quarterback, where Drew Willey or Josh Freeman or Matt Schultz is going to be the guy. But when I look at the Owls roster, that's a good team on paper.
If I look at the Owls roster of Canadian talent, and I've said this, is that in regards to starters, they have, you know, they got eight guys that can start, you know, nine guys that can start. They have a lot of Canadian starters. Now, they don't have depth at those positions. That would be my question mark when I look at the roster, but they have a lot of guys, and Tavon Campbell is one of those guys who I included in that until now, but they have a lot of guys who, they have a lot of good Canadians who can start, which gives them some flexibility, even if you do, you know, don't have depth in those spots. If one guy goes down, you could just shift, you know, where your Canadian starting. So I think I'm with you. And then you look at some of the weapons with the Ejacks and the Chris Williams and the BJ Cunningham. I mean, you have weapons, and Terrell Sutton, you have weapons. And, you know, losing Jovan hurts, losing Tavon Campbell, I don't like that move either. There's maybe more to it, but losing those two guys hurts. And, but yeah, I'm with you. They have talent, and I look at the offseason as a success. When I say that, I don't mean, you know, what's happened, you know, organizationally in regards to some of the unfortunate stuff that's happened. But when I look at the actual moves that Kavis made, I think there are some good moves. He got some good players over there, and it's definitely an improvement in the roster, which is what you need to do. So in that sense, I like what Kavis has done. So I'm with you. Give him a chance. Let's see what happens here. And find him a quarterback, please.
Let's look at the Olafoye and,
oh, go ahead.
and Campbell moves. I mean, maybe the timing could have been better. Maybe he could have moved on from those guys earlier and not had to pay the bonuses as they did, but you can justify both of those moves. I mean, with Olafoye, you've got a guy who's being paid premier left tackle money, I'm assuming coming from BC, which is why the Lions moved on from him. A guy who's missed some games last year for the first time in his career due to some back issues, and now he's 30 years old. So you're taking a gamble there, but you're also wondering, okay, are we cutting our losses here, and are we moving on from a possible red flag at that position? Not saying that he's going to struggle there. I think Jovan is a very good player. But it's risk and cost.
You're
analysis,
dead on, Jeff.
Right?
I agree with you, Jeff. I agree with you there completely. People want to knock that move. There's a reason for that move, and that's I'm with you on that. This is a guy who's been hurt, who's been banged up. He's older, and if you get hit with him getting hurt, you're stuck with a big cap number, and there's not a guarantee he's going to get through the season. I'm with you.
Yeah, didn't give up a sack though when he was healthy. The first three games to start the season, the Owls didn't give up a sack, so. I guess they ultimately decided that it was too great a risk to try to take based on the season that he had last year. But, you know, I just look at it and say, you gave up a first round pick for it. Now, I like a lot of, you know, saying all that, I like a lot of the offseason moves. You know, I like what they brought in terms of some of the personnel guys on the field. You know, defensively, they're immediately better than where they were last season. But ultimately, quarterback play is going to dictate where this team is going to be this year. And that's the reality for all nine CFL teams. Look no further than what happened with the Lions last year. They had a shoddy offensive line, and Jonathan Jennings struggled. And look, why is Calgary an elite team? Why is Edmonton an elite team? Why did Toronto win the Grey Cup? Because of great quarterback play all the way through, right? And that's as simple as that. You know, why did Zach Collaros wind up in Regina this offseason? Because of the way he played. Why is Jeremiah Masoli right now the starting quarterback in Hamilton? Because of the way he played.
Why is Tom Brady dating Giselle? Because he's a quarterback. I mean, it is what it is.
He's a quarterback. And a good – but he's a good one at that. But even Jay Cutler, he's a quarterback. Look at how beautiful his wife is, right? So, you know, there are lots of perks to being a quarterback, and even greater if you win. So, again, there's your Instagram quote.
How about Winnipeg? Right,
either Davis's, they have weapons, or perks to being a quarterback.
How about Winnipeg? They got made a pretty big move the other day. And,
yes.
And along with the move, Winnipeg, with maybe the biggest move of the week, arguably the biggest move of the week, and they throw the biggest shade of the week by throwing out there on their Instagram or their Twitter or one of those handles something about here's the real biggest move of the week, signing Adam Big Hill. Guys, you probably shouldn't be sending that out. I think it's a huge move, and he may have more impact on the CFL this year than Johnny Manziel, and Big Hill is a stud of a defensive player and a linebacker. But for another team to throw salt like that, saying that this is the real biggest move of the thing, and I'm paraphrasing here, so don't bust my things. You can pull it up and find it. It's something to do with basically saying that the biggest move of the week was not the move in Hamilton, it's the move there. That was a shocker. So salt of the week from the pen.
I love it.
And also a biggest move of the week, maybe, or one of them, arguably huge move.
I love it. Shows awareness of what's going on, and it's just a little playful barb, and maybe a little bit of respect for a heck of a linebacker, right, guys?
Well, I mean Adam Big Hill, and again, this goes back to another win for the CFL this week. Adam Big Hill comes back after a year in the National Football League and with the New Orleans Saints. This goes back to stars. This goes back to stars selling and how how can you not, you never have enough stars. And this past week in 4 days, Johnny Manziel and Adam Big Hill have joined the CFL. Adam Big Hill back, Johnny Manziel here. You can never have enough stars.
Time out.
Manziel and Big Hill are exactly that.
And also the Waggle adding Jeff Creever to the lineup this week. That's, you can never have enough stars.
That's 2 out of 3 weeks.
Everybody wins. On that note, final thoughts, anybody, before we get to our conversation with Daron Carter? Or sorry, not Daron Carter, but Brandon Bridge. I was just thinking of another Saskatchewan Rough Rider. So I'll just chew on my shoe and let that one digest. Any final thoughts before we call it a day?
That was fun.
That was
fun. Do it again sometime.
Oh, I do want to give a shout out. Yeah, you know what? Can I give a I want to give a shout out. I reached out to
We're out of time, Davis. Sorry, we got to go.
I'm sorry, but the Twitter handle, there's a group in Toronto. CFL fans in Toronto. The Twitter handle is at CFL fans in Toronto. They reached out this week, the fans of the Waggle, and what they're doing is for all CFL fans in Toronto. They got a group together. They've partnered with a couple breweries in the area over by BMO Field, gathering CFL fans before games, after games, to get together and watch CFL football. You know, it's Kevin was the guy who reached out to me, and he had a similar story to myself where he was trying to find places where they could watch games together and CFL fans in a city dominated by some other sports at times. And, you know, but I've had this one time, and I won't mention any names, C-Ball, but you know the place down by the marina where I used to live, that sports bar down there. And I walked down there, no names to that place, terrible food. It's called the Hurricane Grill, but no names, but terrible food. And I went in there on an NFL Sunday. I had a friend of mine up from Seattle visiting, and I wanted to catch one of the CFL games it was on. It was NFL Sunday. They had 10 TVs in there, and I asked them to turn one of the small TVs in the corner up there to turn the CFL game that was on that morning because I was trying to watch it. And the guy in there said to me, sorry, we don't we just watch NFL in here on Sundays. And I said, no one's watching this TV, though. Can you turn it on so I can watch the game? And, you know, he said, sorry, this is NFL only on Sundays. And I'm thinking, this is a Canadian league. I'm in Canada, and there's an extra TV. No one's watching it. I'm an NFL fan as well, but the fact that they wouldn't do that, but they have terrible food anyway, so I'm surprised I'm not surprised the place is so empty. Hurricane Grill down in Vancouver. Anyway, no names, no blame. But, yeah, I mean, so Kevin, at CFL fans in Toronto, hit him up if you're a CFL fan. You don't got to be an Argos fan. Argos fans are great. You don't have to be an Argos fan. Just CFL fans looking to get together. It's a cool group they got going on there. And hit them up. Yeah, no doubt. That's it, Jay.
I think it's the Three Brewers. I think that's the place at where they do it by BMO, okay, by BMO Field.
Three breweries. So there you go. Three Brewers. Three Brewers. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Creef. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it on a lot of levels. And look, I mean, over the years, in my time that I lived in Toronto, there were places that had soccer club specific bars, as you know, and restaurants. So people would gather to watch Manchester United at a place, or people would gather to watch Liverpool at certain places. There's no reason to not find a place to gather when you think about how many transplants across the country that are from Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary and Winnipeg and Regina, Ottawa or Montreal, that have all migrated to Toronto as example to find that. So nice job by Kevin and the gang to try to create a sense of community to get together and, you know what, and stay hydrated at the same time. So a tip of the cap to all those guys and getting set for the 2018 season. And on that note, we will get to Brandon Bridge. Air Canada is going to join us in a conversation about the state of Canadian quarterbacks and what the future may hold as well. For Davis, for Creever, I'm James. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to The Way. Joined by Riders quarterback and the man who goes by what? At Air Canada 7 on Instagram. Did I get that right, Brandon Bridge?
You sure did. You sure did. Yes, sir.
Is there an underscore on there that we got to make sure we get it right?
Yeah, underscore Air underscore Canada underscore 7.
Okay. Now, listen, I just got to take a mild issue with this nickname, okay? Did somebody give this to you, or did you give this upon yourself?
I was actually given it. It was actually in college. Before I transferred to the University of South Alabama, I was at Alcorn State, which is the same school as which is the same college that Steve McNair and Donald Driver went to. Aaron McNair. So everyone thought my last name was Canada. And then when I got in, they said, this is the best kid since Steve Aaron McNair. And no one knew my last name was Bridge, so they called me Air Canada, let alone that they didn't know that was an airline. So everyone was calling me, hey, this is Air Canada. as opposed to Air Bridge or something like that. So they just went with Canada because I was from Canada, but they thought my last name was Canada as well. So they just went on with it, and I just stuck with it. And then, yeah, and then like one of my teammates made like my social media accounts for me, and he's made it as Air Canada 7. For 7 is the number I actually wore in college and like my whole life.
Okay, now just to clarify for everybody listening right now, you are from Mississauga originally, just kind of the west end of Toronto, right?
Sure am, yes, sir.
Okay. And you're what? In your mid 20s? You're what, around 26 now? Did I get this? Am I on this the right page?
Yeah, I just turned 26 in March.
Okay, so I just want to point out, like, there was a pretty big athlete who you would probably remember that had the nickname Air Canada at one time as well. Do you feel okay with this?
Oh, hey, he's the one that actually started. He's the one that actually changed a lot of culture around here. Vince Carter.
Yeah, he was actually the truth.
I was actually a big fan of his. He definitely changed the whole culture. He was the Drake of Toronto and Canada before Drake was around.
You know, that's a great way to put it, because there's a great documentary that just dropped on Netflix about Vince Sanity and Vince Carter and the impact that he had on basketball in Canada. But not, I guess you could take that to another layer where not just from a basketball standpoint, he meant so much more that from a pop culture. And I think your analogy right there is perfect. He was Drake before Drake.
Yeah, he definitely was. He definitely changed how, you know, clubs were and how, like, they were organized. He actually had, like, his own club out. The same way how Drake had his own club. And, yeah, I mean, like, he put, like, a lot of money into, like, the city. He actually bled, you know, Canada. Like, he was actually waving that flag proud, even though he wasn't a Canadian. But, yeah, you know, Vince Carter was definitely Drake before Drake. The only difference between the two is, one's a rapper, a Canadian rapper, and the other one's just an American guy who can jump 45 inches and put the ball between his legs and dunk.
Yeah, and make a lot of money doing it, too, and still going strong in his 40s, yeah. So not bad. Hey, tell me this. So here we are, training camp's underway. You were a great little story, and I don't want to say great little story. I don't want to diminish what you did, but you were a good story last year, and I think a lot of people across the Canadian Football League kind of rallied around you with what you were doing and getting the opportunity that you did as, you know, the Canadian quarterback. And here we go again. It's almost a deja vu for you where here you are, it's camp, you're battling for a spot, and, you know, Zach, everybody keeps talking about, oh, Zach Collaros, what's Zach Collaros going to do with the Riders? What's Zach Collaros going to do with the Riders? Now, this is your teammate, but at the same time, do you not feel like a little bit of a forgotten entity at some point?
Not at all, because, like, everyone knows what I actually do. Everyone knows what kind of player I am, what I'll do on that field. You know, everyone said Brandon Bridge is like a gamer, and obviously, you know, every time I got into a game, we were always at, like, a handicap. You know, every time I got in, like, we were either down or we were in a hostile environment. And I did my best to bring them back and possibly win the game or at least make, like, a game out of it. And, you know, honestly, people can talk about whoever they want, but, like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt my self-esteem or hurt, like, my gameplay. At the end of the day, like, I'm just worried about the play and executing it.
So you got thick skin, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, if someone wants to talk about another guy, like what is it? Like, I don't care about that. Like, I'm not here to for the fame. I'm just here to, you know, just try to open up a door for the younger generation, be a good teammate, and definitely just obviously just try to win football games. But if people want to talk about me, I mean, it's either be talked about and not do anything, or do you want to have just a person who go out there and do great things and actually win championships? I'd rather take that over someone just talking about me.
So do you still view yourself as being a guy who could be the starting quarterback with the Riders this year then?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Riders know what I can do. I'm just out here just trying to put my best foot forward. And, yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure Coach Jones would definitely not be hesitant to put me in at any point in time, as he wasn't last year. So I don't see what the difference would be this year. I have a lot more experience, a lot more confidence. I had an offseason under my belt. I mean, I'm only going to get better. I just think that I'm actually going to get better over time.
Do you, you know, it's been a few years. You're still a young guy by athlete standards and especially by pro standards. But Do you feel that, you know, it's been a few years that you've now been in the CFL. Does the Canadian quarterback talk start to change in your mind now? I mean, your partner in crime, Andrew Buckley, just retired because he's chasing a PhD. But, you know, there was kind of this rise with the two of you last year. Do you feel like that conversation's starting to change and that you're a part of that reason?
Yeah, I actually feel like I was the reason why it actually started to being a conversation, honestly. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, you know, Buckley, I wish him nothing but the best and like, his success. Obviously, I'll always rooting for him. You know, I'm always going to definitely be on the side of a Canadian quarterback who's trying to reach the same type of aspirations and goals that I was. But you know what? He always had love for medical, what he mentioned. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. But honestly, yeah, I'm just by myself now. And that's fine. I mean, Robin didn't always hang around with Batman every time. Batman has to do some stuff by himself. So, I mean, I'll just be out here and just try to get this rule change and definitely hopefully open up the doors now, hoping Noah Fichtin can be the next one in line and definitely make, you know, crack the roster and, you know, try to follow my footsteps and, like, lead the charge.
You know, I can vouch for the Batman expression that he did a few things on his own. I have a stack of comics that just Batman running solo, so I can empathize with what you're saying here, man. So I'm with you. The idea of you getting into the mix, though, what did last year do for your confidence?
Actually, it actually did a lot of great things. You know, it definitely made me understand the playbook more, maybe a lot more, you know, just understanding of what the coaches actually want to get accomplished. And honestly, you know, I actually thank Coach Glenn. I mean, I already call him Coach Glenn, but Kevin Glenn so much for that, because, like, he taught me how to be a pro. He taught me how to be a better person in life. He taught me how to be a better football player, a better quarterback. And, like, I actually worked with Kevin for, like, 3 years now, and he just took me under like his wing. He saw the talent like I had, and he also, you know, he was actually saw what the type of things I can do with, like, the position like I'm in to even change that ratio spot as well. So, you know, like, Kevin Glenn was probably the best team I probably had out of all my football life. Like, he brought me under like his wing. He taught me how to be a pro and showed me how to do great things in life.
Does that how different is that from when you're trying to break into the league at the time as a young guy in Montreal? I mean, I just get a sense that it was night and day for you.
Oh, definitely night and day. Honestly, when I was I went to the NFL combine, I went through all that, and then, like, since I didn't make it, you know, I was a little, like, depressed at that point in time. But then, honestly, I had to, you know, just be happy of like, where I was and be grateful I'm still playing a game for a living. And, yeah, I mean, like, Kevin Glenn didn't come on until later in that year, but, you know, like, I didn't have much veterans that was actually trying to help, like, the younger guys. And I remember Kevin Glenn always told me that at the end of the day, like, you always want to help out the younger generation to keep this game going. No matter what, if you're in a competition or not, like, you always want to still help them out regardless of the fact, because, like, you can't control if the coach wants to play that person or you. If you just do what you have to do between your reps, and at the end of the day, the eye in the sky, like, doesn't lie. And, you know, if you go out there and, like, do your job, then the coach will make, like, a decision. But you shouldn't be acting different or being a bad teammate or withholding information if someone asks a question just because you're in a competition. And that's what And, like, that's why I think me and Kevin Glenn was so gelled well last year, because, like, we actually had generally support, general love for each other, whoever was out there.
Yeah, because it's a different scenario where here you are, I guess the guy you're chasing a spot with at the time in Montreal is what, Rakeem Cato, who had a reputation amongst teammates to being a pretty intense guy and pretty tightly wound to begin with. So he's probably feeling threatened that you're trying to take the same job that he's got, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was actually like two young minds that honestly didn't understand the issue of being a true teammate at the professional level. Obviously, like, in college, it's different from, like, the pros, because at the end of the day, like, you're trying to fight for a job, trying to feed your families, and try to take care of yourself. But, you know, after being with Kevin Glenn for so many years, it trying to change, like, my whole mentality on how I actually view things, how I view other quarterbacks, and how I view, like, my other teammates. So, being supportive and actually helping out in any way, because at the end of the day, it's such a team goal, and, like, you can't control what the coaches want to do, but you can control your actions and you can control what you do within those white lines.
Hey, tell me this. You've dealt, like, your entire, you know, we talk about, and here we are in 2018, and we talk about diversity and inclusiveness, but then on the flip side, there's still stereotypes and discrimination. As a Canadian quarterback, I feel like this is, you know, the knock on the Canadian quarterback. I feel like you've probably been having to dismiss stereotypes for a very long time as just an athlete playing your position. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You know, a lot of teams would probably said I can play receiver, but they never see me play it down at receiver because I can run, jump, and do all the athletic stuff. But all only film that you have out there is quarterback. So how am I going to be judged and already dismissed from a position of quarterback when you haven't even seen me play a different position before? So that's why I'm actually appreciative that, you know, Coach Jones actually brought me in as a quarterback, because he didn't view me as anything else. He saw what I can do. He liked what I can do, and he thought that I can do some great things for his football team, and here I am today.
So who wanted to turn you into a receiver?
I remember during a draft process, a couple of CFL teams called me, and they said, how would you feel about playing like receiver? And I wasn't for it. I'm not a receiver. I wouldn't want to play receiver, nor have you ever seen me play receiver. So, but you see me play quarterback, and the film I put out shows that I can play. I can definitely be a starter in this league, and obviously I've done great things and brought a lot of teams back, or brought us back on like a lot of games, and went into hostile environments and actually made a game out of something when we were at a handicap and we were losing. So, I mean, and like I started one game, or I started two games in my whole career, and I won against Montreal, and I threw about, I don't know, I think close to 70% in two touchdowns. And another game I started, I threw for three touchdowns with the win. So, I mean, I don't know why. If anyone actually tries to mention like the position receiver, I would just take it as disrespect. And I would just ask them, do you want to be besides like something else as opposed to a coach? You know, if someone's a quarterback coach, they do want to be a D-line coach. You never played D-line in like your life. So it's just disrespectful.
Tell me you threw that back on somebody in one of the combine interviews. Please tell me you did that for real.
No, I just told him that I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in playing receiver. And if that's what you want to talk about, we can end the conversation right now. And that was it.
Wow.
I wasn't disrespectful about it. I just told him that I'm not interested in it, and like, there's no reason to keep talking if that's what you want to do. So, because like I'm not coming there for that.
You remember those conversations, obviously.
I do. Yeah, I actually remember them. I remember my agent. Like they could talk to my agent. My agent was saying the same thing. If you want to talk about receiver, then you might as well just end the phone call and save your phone data and save your phone battery, because there's no point of calling.
Well, you've shown that you can play in this league, and I think that's a huge step forward here going forward. And you know, to pick up a win last year and rallying your team at various points in the season. So for young kids, hey, look, I mean, there's a lot of CIS quarterbacks, but even high school quarterbacks all across Canada. What do you say? Because what's to say, and maybe in a different sort of realm, and maybe in a smaller scale, I mean, you might be their respective Drake. You might be their respective Vince Carter. What do you say to those guys, to the young ones, to the next generation, to the next Brandon Bridge potentially here in the CFL?
Honestly, I just tell them to don't let anyone tell you that like you can't do something. I mean, if you got a dream, then you can protect it. And just keep going with it. Honestly, one of my favorite movies is actually The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. And honestly, like he showed, like in that movie, every time I watch it, teach me something else. Teach me how to be a better person, how to be a good father whenever I have kids one day. Teach you how to be respectful and still do the right things even when no one is looking. And like that's what that movie actually taught me. And it was a lot of things were just perseverance and overcoming a lot of obstacles in like your life. And obviously, this is like an obstacle, like how like we're being judged because of the passport. Like honestly, like if I was American, would people be saying, oh, he's doing such great things as a Canadian quarterback? Like why do you have to add a Canadian quarterback? Like why is it not always he's doing great things as a quarterback? It's just like back in the day with like, you know, many years ago, it's like Jackie Robinson, like he's a great baseball player for being a black guy. Like why do you have to add the racial? He's the same person. Like he bleeds the same color you do. And he needs the same amount of water. He needs the same amount of food to survive. So, I mean, the only reason why they're making it really a big deal because I have a Canadian flag on me. But the only thing is the CFL is doing is they're not letting me be a Canadian.
That's kind of
funny. Mean, I got like, yeah, like I'm being judged as a Canadian, but I'm not being treated as a Canadian. Like I'm being judged as a Canadian on the roster, but take that away, I'm being looked at as a Canadian player.
Yeah,
but I don't know why I can't have such a bad rep.
Well, you don't even impact the ratio, right? That's the whole other thing.
I don't.
Which is kind of silly.
So then why?
Do you think the rule should be changed?
100%. Like, there's like no one can, like, there's no good reason why it should not be changed. Like what are the reasons, like, are they going to tell me? Like, every other position counts, like, to the ratio, so why not? Like, that's like a parent. And, like, this is what, like, CFL preaches and they say they want to help out the development of football and bring football, you know, like, in Canada, like, you know, make it more popular and, like, more fun and a lot more kids to join in as opposed to the hockey. Obviously, hockey's dominant and, like, lacrosse is actually dominant as well. But, like, can you imagine if, like, a young kid was growing up and, like, he was playing goalie, like, his whole life in hockey, and then you go to the pros and NHL says, oh, if you're Canadian, like you can't play hockey, like, you can't play goalie. Why would I, as a parent, put my kid or have all these lessons to be a goalie if knowingly in the NHL he's going to get scrutinized for being Canadian because he's actually a Canadian goalie? So he's going to get looked down upon because he's a Canadian goalie. So then why would I even do that as a parent? I'll just put him at a different position. I'll put him as a defenseman, left wing, center, or right wing. I'll put him at the other positions. But in quarterback, like, that's what's happening here. But you want to raise – but, like, that's the most important position in football. So now it's like, okay, well, the youth and the development of football is actually getting tarnished because we're not developing any young quarterbacks because parents are saying, why am I going to put my kid being a quarterback if there's not a chance for them to even make quarterback, and at least they're like the CFL? It makes no sense. So now receivers aren't becoming better. Receivers don't have to really run routes because the quarterback is not getting that much development. There's only certain balls that he can throw. So, like, now receivers are getting tarnished as well. And now the O-line is the only position that's actually good because they have to run the football. And that's why every O-lineman is actually going through the first round. Like, there's never been, like, I've never seen, like, a CFL draft where just O-line is the first nine picks. Why not a running back? Why not a receiver? Why not a quarterback? How it is, like, in the NFL. Because they actually develop every position and make it known that, hey, no matter what you play, you can actually play it, regardless of what you are.
And you know what's funny about that? When I think of over the years from a hockey culture standpoint, how many times did you hear the knock over the years? Oh, you know what? Can you win with a European captain? Or, oh, this guy's soft because he's Finnish. Or this guy's soft because he's Swedish. You know, in the same vein, it's like, you know, can you win with a Canadian quarterback, or can a Canadian quarterback play in the league? When you think about that, if you change the country on a lot of those, think of how that narrative sounds. It would sound, if you replaced it with a different country. So, you know, can you win with a European captain in hockey was a long time thing. Now imagine changing that to say, can you win with an African captain? Doesn't that sound incredibly racist all of a sudden?
But I was just about to say that. Yeah, it actually sounds like you're scrutinizing, like you're actually diminishing and actually downplaying someone because of something that they couldn't control. Like they're born like this country. If they're balling and like they're doing well, why am I gonna look at you any differently? Like, I don't care. Like, that's exactly how it was with like baseball. Like, and that's why Jack Robinson got so much hate. And it's like, okay, but now all you see, like, a lot of, you know, like people from the islands and like a lot of different cultures playing the sport of baseball. It all started with one guy who opened up that door. And like obviously he took a lot of hate for it, but like look at him, like he opened up the game of baseball where like there, you would never hear about the Derek Jeters, the Alex Rodriguez, the David Ortiz, the Manny Ramirez. You never heard of those guys. But those are like the best players whenever you think of baseball. Like those are the first names I actually think about. Red Sox and the Yankees. Like those are the names that you have to think about whenever you think about baseball. And then like if you want to think about hockey, like I think about the Mario Lemieux, the Wayne Gretzky, the Martin Brodeurs, and for like goalie. Can you imagine if Martin Brodeur wasn't allowed to play goalie because of where he was born? Or
he's
being
a French,
because
he's a French,
because
he's
of where
French
he's born.
Goalie. Yes, you can't play because you're a
exactly.
French goalie. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, because like you're French, like you're not, we're going to put in another goalie like because I'm French?
I enjoy
now we're just showing a terrible message.
I enjoy the conversation, and I hope it's a thought-provoking one for everybody listening, because hopefully the discussion and that conversation continues. And listen, you're living it and breathing it right now, and hopefully you can continue to change that discussion, because I can say this, with your success last year, and hopefully that carries over this year, people are now having this conversation even more so here in 2018, and maybe no longer are we talking about the idea of a Canadian quarterback and whether they can play or what to do with it, where it's just finally just a point where we're just talking about straight up, Brandon, quarterback. That's my quarterback.
Yeah,
my quarterback.
Exactly. Exactly. With Terrell Owens. Yeah. But like, exactly. Like if the CFL wants to preach and say they want to help out the development of football, well, that's the first step. And if you want to be looked at differently, obviously, like, I'm not being looked at here, but like, it's, I think it's such a big deal because I have a Canadian flag. It's like, oh, it hasn't been done in so long. Like, Coach Jones actually is not looking at me like that. Coach Jones sees me as a, just a quarterback, which is actually amazing. But all around the league, it's like, oh, he's still a Canadian quarterback, so let's look at him differently.
Yeah.
Why?
The one thing that Jonesy won't do is he won't discriminate when it's time to yell at you when you make a mistake, right?
Never, but he will not be the. but he's not afraid to throw me in whenever he needs me or anything. So, I mean, I respect Coach Jones dearly. I appreciate him for giving me a chance, let me play quarterback and not look at me as a Canadian quarterback. He thinks of me as a quarterback. If I can throw the ball, I can throw the ball. If I can, you know, assess the play calling, I should get it out and run the play effectively, then. Like, he doesn't care if I'm left-handed, if I'm right-handed, if I throw behind my back, just get the ball there. Like, it doesn't matter. It's white, black, Chinese, Indian, Jewish, Catholic, Anglican, atheist, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. As long as you can play football, who cares? Yeah, just win. It doesn't matter. If you believe in God, don't believe in God, whatever. You're black, white, curly hair, shaved head, dreads, doesn't matter. He's not seeing you. He's seeing the football player with number 16 on. He's not thinking about who he is. Number 16, can he do this? All right, cool. He passes. Can number 57 do this? Cool, he passes. If not, then they'll get rid of you. And that's the best part about Coach Jones.
Thanks for doing this. And good luck this year. I'm looking forward to watching the journey over the course of this season.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Keep flying, Air Canada. Keep flying.